Great way to kick off.
Yeah. Hello, everybody. This is the Final Play Podcast. Well, we're just checking our mics. A bit late, but we're talking about week 7 in the NFL. Recording that on today when there's probably a Thursday night game going or just gone. So we'll rip through these games. My name's Jason.
And my name's Miles. So let's get it.
The first last Thursday night game was the Chiefs and Broncos. The Chiefs getting over the Broncos 30-6. The Rams, again, another hapless Falcons, beating the Falcons 37-10. The Bills getting over the Dolphins 31-21. The Jags getting over the Bengals 27-17. The Vikings in a high-scoring affair beating the Detroit Lions 42-30. The Packers, which I can't wait to talk about that game, beating the Raiders 42-24.
Should just be Aaron Rodgers.
That's not pretty much all Aaron, I'm going to talk Rogers. About. the Colts getting over the Texans 30-23. The Cards getting over the Giants 27-21. The San Francisco Niners still going strong 6-0, getting over the Redskins 9-0.
In a mud bowl.
It was definitely a mud ball, clearly with the score, at least, anyway.
It was 4-0. That was killer.
The Titans getting over the Chargers 23-20. The Saints, I guess, just getting over the Bears 36-25. Ravens getting over the Seahawks 30-16. The Cowboys finally learning how to win again, beating the Eagles 37-10. And the Patriots, 7-0, 33-0 against the Jets.
Oh, man. Did they make the Jets look like a big steamy pile of you-know-what after that game? Holy dooly.
But just starting with that game. So this 7-0, there's 16 rounds or 16 games. Can the Patriots go 16-0? Is it possible? Because there's also the 49ers, but can...
Of course it's possible. They're in the worst division in the league. Like they've got six easy wins.
Mm-hmm.
But you've got to look through their schedule and see where the possible trip-up games are.
And do you think it's actually possible, or it just depends on their schedule?
It's totally possible. They've done it before, possible. And they got all the way through to the Super Bowl.
And then got
knocked off by Eli Manning. So and then the Giants that year, I think they went, did they go 18-1, I think it was.
Yeah, that's right.
Lost in the Super Bowl.
Yeah. So even though it's possible, it doesn't mean you're automatically gonna win a Super Bowl.
No, right.
It wasn't like, I guess in terms of the Patriots, it wasn't, I mean, 33-0 obviously looks like it was a blowout score, but when I sort of watched it, it didn't seem, it wasn't like a, it was an ugly game to watch, put it that way.
Yeah. I mean, it was Tom Brady doing Tom Brady things with a heavy dose of Sony Michel. So,
and even they were just
thumping him up the middle all game.
Yeah. Yeah. But he's only three, he got three touchdowns, but you know, they were at short lengths. As all he made was 42 yards for 19 carries. So,
that's right. Yeah.
They just sort of panned him in there. The one, I guess, glaring thing just in that game was Sam Darnold only throwing 86 yards.
Oh, my God. 11 for 32.
Yeah.
82 yards and 4 interceptions. Like, holy mackerel. He just. Yeah, and the whole comment of him, you know, being mic'd up with ESPN and the whole I'm seeing ghosts sort of things. As he went on, I think he wasn't seeing ghosts. He was just seeing it Patriots corners and safeties. That's what was happening. He wasn't seeing no ghosts. They were real people, and they were the people in the opposition's colors.
Monster people coming out. I forgot about that.
It's just crazy. Like,
I hate when they talk that stuff up. I mean,
that's nothing. And then Adam Gase comes out and sort of, has a big. We don't need to hear that. Those kind of things and everything. It's just like, oh my God, like it's a nothing comment. Like it means nothing. It's just him in the heat of the moment, sort of, you know, expressing what you know, what he thinks he's seeing out there. And it's just like, no, you're just seeing red, white, and blue jerseys, you know, taking the ball away from you and, you know, not throwing it to anybody in green and white.
That was the second game too for the Patriots defense holding a team to zero. So,
pretty poor move not to trade for the Patriots defense. But anyway, we'll brush over that.
No, I think it's still a safe thing. I mean, it's amazing
How can they keep this up?
Yeah, it's amazing in terms of like the top 15. Or so fantasy points that are the defenses in that top 15, but they can't keep it up because
it seems impossible, but you don't know.
Yeah, no, you don't know, and this is where the way if they can go 16-0, it's purely going to be because of their defense. Clearly, it's going to be because of their defense.
So. The Patriots, just quickly before we move on, the Patriots got the Browns this week in New England, and they travel to Baltimore, then they travel to Philly. Possibly. Then they host the Cowboys, so, you know, Ravens will be tough. Philly, you'd think they should be able to take care of. The Cowboys come into town, it depends on how well they're playing.
Yeah.
Then they go to Houston, and then they welcome in the Chiefs. And then to finish off the season will be 3 wins because they got the Bengals, the Bills, and the Dolphins.
Okay. So you could probably, most of them are really locks for wins if you sort of want to look at it. But I mean, the chief ones, it all depends if Mahomes is back. But going off that, it's entirely probable. So,
well, that's right.
Like, I mean,
I think that, like, obviously the Browns coming in, you don't know what the hell they're going to pull out. The Ravens, you know, in Baltimore will be tough. You know, the Eagles have been extremely inconsistent, and then after that, like, as you start getting into to the latter rounds, you know, the Texans and the Chiefs, and I think the Texans have sort of underperformed the last couple of weeks. So they've been left wanting, you know. Obviously, that win against the Chiefs a couple of weeks ago sort of bolstered them. So, unless you really want to talk a little bit about the Texans, they just couldn't back up that game. Like, you know, that was a super win against the Chiefs, and then then they get beat by Indianapolis. So you're like, oh, okay.
So touching on that game, I mean, it was a great win by Indianapolis, but especially with Jacoby Brissett, looks like he's comfortable now, at least. Well, he is obviously the number one quarterback there, but it seems like it was a smart decision. Obviously playing with Luck retiring, but I don't know. Every time I think of Houston, that's all I think of them. They have a great win against a great team, and then they shit the bed. Yeah, literally.
Yeah,
it seems to be a thing with them in the last couple of years. If I remember, they can't back it up.
They don't care. They can't get a roll on. Like, they get the good, they get the couple of good wins, and then they play teams that they probably should beat. And you think they should have beaten, they should have beaten Indianapolis.
Well, they should have.
Even with that's what I mean. Brissett, 326 yards, and he had 4 TDs.
Yeah,
as well. So, you know, Brissett played really well, and Marlon Mack probably had a bit of a lackluster sort of game in the form that he's been in lately.
Yeah.
So that was a little disappointing. You know, the Texans running game, is sort of so. You know, a lot of sort of comes down to Carlos Hyde and Duke Johnson. So maybe they've got to share that out a little bit more. I think a lot of the running game goes through Carlos Hyde, but there'll have to be games where they'll probably have to have roles reversed. And when you've got somebody like DeAndre Hopkins there, like, you just, you know.
He's having a so-so season, but, I mean, yes, he did get 106 yards, but that's been pretty few and far between this year.
No, that's right. You know, them losing Lamar Miller. Lamar Miller, is that what I'm thinking? Yeah, like that was a bit of a loss. And Will Fuller, did Will Fuller play last week? Well, he's been out recently.
He did play, but I think he got injured He only had one. He only had one receiving, so
Hit start of the game. So
Kenny Stills is playing,
you know, but that's what you've got to go through. You've got to go through injuries. This is, you know, this is the NFL. People get hurt, so you know, you've got to take those hits, and you know, that's is what it is.
I just think they're one of those teams that those classic teams that that know how to beat these big teams like the Chiefs, and then something just happens, like they can't beat these teams that they're expected to beat, I guess. Indianapolis playing bad, but
inconsistencies as well. So but they've got they've definitely got the team to do it, that's for sure.
Oh, well, they definitely have and they did a lot of trading at the start of the year too.
That's right.
I guess, and, now
that they've got a decent offensive line and protecting the quarterback as well, like that helps a great deal.
Touching on the Mud Bowl, except obviously it was a grind out win clearly, but 49ers, they're still going strong at 6-0. I mean, it was against the Redskins, and, you know, it was probably really, well, I would have, looking at it, I would say it would have been really hard to get a touchdown, but.
No, that's right. It was a run, sort of a run heavy game, but everything was just, very heavy footed.
Yeah.
You know, clearly with the inclement weather, with, you know, statistically, you know, Keenum, 9 for 8 through 12 passes, Keenum for 77 yards. And Jimmy G didn't even do that much either. He threw an interception, but it was 12 for 21. So it was just one of those games where you've just got to clock manage, you know, played basically in between each halves. I can't think of off the top of my head how many punts there were. There would have been so many three and outs in that game. So it was, it was sort of for them to be able to get three field goals is to be able to hold Washington out is admirable.
It was two punts for San Francisco, but four for the Redskins. Except for obviously the score, the one thing I sort of took out of that game was it looks like Adrian Peterson's coming back to form that he used to had and everyone loved about Adrian Peterson. So I think he played. What I've watched, I think he played pretty good in the game that we'll talk about next week. I think he played pretty good tonight, but he got. You're right. I mean, it was a run heavy game. It's possible why he got 81 yards, but I think it was just sort of one of those. I mean, the Washington are 1-6, so he's one of those bright sparks in that, you know, that terrible team, really.
No, well, that's right. You know, and that game sort of built for him too. A bit of a power runner and. Yeah, so you can just sort of like we said in the with the Pats game, just dump it up the middle, and just sort of go from there, and you know, obviously the they're fairly offensively challenged to say the least, the Redskins, so they're they'll spring a win on somebody. Yeah, like the Dolphins, but you know that they'll spring a win on somebody.
A few other games, but the Chiefs getting over the Broncos, which always probable, but the biggest talking point of that game obviously was Patrick Mahomes hurting his knee in that win.
It was the social media meltdown of the year so far, I reckon.
Yeah. Doesn't look like he's going to play this week. I believe he's out.
Oh, there's people out there that, he's training this week. Like, and he's essentially preparing to play. Andy Reid has just got to get him and handcuff him and get some cable ties around his feet and just say, sorry, boy, you just not playing this week. It's against Green Bay.
It's too valuable for the team.
You can't risk him. He had a dislocated kneecap.
Yeah.
You can't risk him and just going on a quarterback sneak. So, you know, how many quarterback sneaks do you see, you know, throughout the course of a week. Like they happen a lot. Like that's, you know, that's not an uncommon play, but he just got crushed underneath everybody and he looked in, you know, a fair bit of discomfort once it happened, which I'm sure it would, you know, when your kneecaps, that would just, oh, that'd be a horrible feeling. But yeah, he's training, but he's limping around a little bit. It's just, yeah, it's unfathomable to think that he would play this week.
Yeah, I agree. I never thought, I mean, I've removed him from every fantasy team that I have him in because I don't think he's going to play. It'd be ludicrous.
Well, it'd be lunacy. It'd be lunacy.
Week eight.
To throw him out there.
Yeah. I mean, there'd be no way. I mean, they want a postseason run, and the only way they're going to get a decent postseason run if he's fit. So,
of course. That's right.
With the Denver Broncos, they, I guess, sort of just came in, or it's just sort of obviously after this game, they traded away Emmanuel Sanders to the 49ers.
Yeah, that's right.
What do you think of that? I like Emmanuel Sanders.
He's been a number one receiver for a long time. He's 32 years old now, so I think that's their only a little concern that they were talking about. He's 32 and he's coming off a torn Achilles, so I think that's their concerns. You know, especially around the media with that sort of trade. Third and a fourth rounder in 2020, they gave up for him. So, they're looking at 49ers have obviously sort of, looked at the books and gone, okay, you know, we look like, you know, we could be, we've thrown ourselves in the mix to be a contender now with the record that we've got right now. So let's try and help Jimmy G and get us a, you know, not a super high number one receiver.
No,
a number one receiver nonetheless.
A dependable receiver at least.
That's right. And like I said, coming off the torn Achilles, like that's not terrific, but that's not to say that nobody can come off a torn Achilles and never be any good again. But that's it's definitely risky, that's for sure.
The Packers game over the Raiders, I mean, it was 42-24, so it was a massive scoreline, but I mean, there was only really one thing to talk about with that, and that was Aaron Rodgers.
Well, he had a nice little Sunday afternoon, didn't he?
Only a 158 point rating, but five touchdowns, 429.
When he come in that press conference after, I don't know how they work out their passer rating sort of stuff.
I have no idea. Tried to look at it, and I'm not spending my time with this. I like looking at 429 yards, 5 touchdowns, 25 of 31 attempts. Like, that's, to me, that's how you know it was good.
Rushed for a touchdown himself. So, kudos to those who had him as their starting quarterback, in any fantantasy league.
I left him off one. So, I thought he hasn't been playing like Aaron Rodgers usually plays, even though, you know, the Packers are 6-1. And I thought, oh, no, I'll leave him off because I had Kyler. And yeah, that was a stupid mistake. It was like 43 points. Yeah. So,
bad idea.
But they, across the board, like their whole, their rushing, their receiving. I never really knew much about that Marcus Valdez Scantling.
Yeah, Scantling. Didn't he have like 2 receptions for 133 yards?
Yeah. So the long was 74 yards, which is, you know,
that's ridiculous.
I never knew much of him, but I mean, clearly.
Is he a second year? I think he was a rookie last year.
I don't know. Like, although obviously it was about Aaron Rodgers, just with the Raiders, they're 3-3. They, you know, Josh Jacobs seems to be like the draft pick of the year to me. Like, that was, well, at least the draft pick that everyone thought, no, that was terrible of Oakland to draft him in the first round, but
I'd put him equal top at that being offensive rookie of the year.
I would definitely agree with that, because there's a lot of things I want to put money on.
Don't worry, I'm looking at that too.
But He's the biggest reason they're 3-3. That's how I've sort of looked at it. I mean, the little sort of receiving.
Derek Carr hasn't been terrible. He's been, and their tight end Waller as well. Like, he's been great.
Yeah.
He has been excellent, you know, as a reliable receiver. Like, they have really don't have a lot of people to sort of throw to, but you know, he's definitely a shining light there. And Josh Jacobs is just going from strength to strength. He's playing terrific.
Yeah, definitely. Was there any games you wanted to sort of touch on? I mean, before I talk about the Cowboys, but
no, the few. You know, obviously the Rams, sort of going into Atlanta and sort of, you know, the hapless Atlanta Falcons again. Atlanta Hawks look like they might be all right. They won today. Anyway.
We'll talk about it later. I don't know. It's against Detroit, but anyway.
Detroit could be a sneaky. Anyway, Matt Ryan getting hurt late in that game.
Yeah.
Bringing up Matt Schaub, and you know, Matt Schaub is a decent backup.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing that I sort of seen about that was sort of late in that game as well is Devontae Freeman trying to take on Aaron Donald. Like, I don't know what the hell was going through that man's head. I have no idea. But the thing was, too, is like when he tried to punch him, like he still got his helmet on. It's like, that's a great idea. Let's try and punch somebody with their helmet on, their face mask on, and you break your hand. Well, he didn't break his hand, but you know, what happens if he broke his hand trying to do something like that? And then you're out for 4 weeks. You know, that's just stupid. Like, okay, you're getting dominated by the Rams, but you just, man, got to be smarter than that. Especially to take on someone like Aaron Donald, who'll eat most people for lunch.
Yeah, that's true.
Like, that's just crazy talk.
I didn't mind the Matt Schaub, like you said. Like, I mean, he came on late, but
he's been around a while.
He has, and every time I think of second string quarterbacks, I always think they're just going to go with the run game, I should say, and. Sort of because then, you know, they protect the way they play and everything. But no,
depends on how much they trust them as well. You know, Matt Schaub is a low end, you know, starting level quarterback.
Yeah.
So for them to have him on the bench, Matt Ryan doesn't really get hurt all that often. So, you know, that's a reliable thing. It's just everything else about their game is just a poop fest. So you just,
Yeah. I think it's their defense because, like, it's possibly their offense too when their number one receiver is the tight end.
They've got two decent number one receivers. Devontae Freeman, who's a sensational running back. It's just I don't understand. You know, Austin Hooper there as well at tight end.
And that's probably the problem. He's their number one receiving player at the moment he's a tight end. So.
Yeah, it's crazy.
It must be their defense, which said, you know, you don't really, especially with Atlanta, when you talk about Atlanta, you always think offense, especially with Matt Ryan. Oh,
of course. Julio the last James couple of years, there, they've been, you know, they had major injuries last year defensively, I think all across the board. So, you know, that was a little unfortunate for them, but they've just continued the trend this year. And, if they don't sort of pull the finger out soon, they'll be looking at another high draft pick.
Yeah, I'd say I'm, and to be honest, the way it's going, I see them getting a high draft pick. I don't really see them winning a lot more games, unfortunately.
Not the way that they're playing at the moment. They could be like Washington. They could just all of a sudden everything clicks and they'll spring it on somebody. But it just the way that they're playing at the moment, there's no way that you can trust them to get a win, which is unfortunate. So, you know, that brand new stadium there in Atlanta, I'm sure they'll still pack it out. But it's sad faces for the fans.
With the Cowboys, getting over their divisional rivals, the Eagles. There wasn't really, I guess, the only things I really wanted to touch on really was that They started to click a bit more offensively. I guess Dak played a lot better than he has in the last two or three games, possibly even more. They just seemed to click together. But they always had the defensive chops, and that's why they kept the Eagles out. But offensively, yeah, I think Dak kept it together, which is good because
Carson once again has been left wanting.
Yes.
I don't know what's sort of going on between him and his boy Zach Ertz. Like I don't know why you wouldn't be trying to use a top receiver like Zach Ertz, in your passing game. It's just it's very strange what's happening there at the moment. The distance between them being good and them being bad is just too great at the moment. Like they're just once again inconsistency sort of coming through a little bit. So, but the receiving core and they need to address their running game a little bit there. Like that they've got some pretty average sort of runners there. I think Jordan Howard. I think he's a former Bear. I think.
Yeah, Jordan Howard. Yeah,
I don't think they utilize the run enough.
Yeah, correct. And I guess touching on Wentz and Ertz, I mean they were clicking so well last year. The year before they won the Super Bowl, so something. Right.
But
I don't
Ertz
know,
was their leading. Ertz was their leading receiver last year. I think he had like 105 or something like that. Or something receptions last year. He was their leading receiver. So I don't understand why he's either being left out or I don't know. It's just a little odd. Alshon Jeffrey's a top receiver, and Nelson Aguilar has been left wanting a little bit this year as well. So you think you need your safety blanket in Zach Ertz, but it's just I don't know. It's just not happening at the moment. So that's nobody's going to really run away with that division unless the Cowboys do. So. That's ordinary with the exception of the Cowboys, an ordinary division.
Yeah, correct. And maybe I mean Carson Wentz the last one or two years as well was injured, so maybe losing and I've lost his name. He left in free agency. He's a quarterback.
Oh, Nick Foles.
Yeah, so maybe losing Nick Foles really hurt a lot of players.
Well, that was the insurance policy, wasn't it?
Yeah, but it may be then. But it's not even that. They always obviously Carson Wentz was always going to be the franchise quarterback, but maybe not having Nick Foles there, has hurt. Well, not hurt, but maybe a lot of people are upset by it. So
I couldn't even tell you who their backup is in Philly at the moment. I haven't really looked at it. It seems to be the year of the backup this year, and I'd just want to touch on that a little bit after we sort of go through these games. But I couldn't tell you who the backup is there in Philly.
No, we could touch on it now because it was sort of the rest of the games are pretty.
The one thing that I sort of found a little bit funny with the Bills and the Dolphins. We all know the Dolphins are pretty ordinary, but Fitzmagic. Nearly pulled it out a little bit there, and they got within 3 points, and then they went for the onside kick, and it sort of bounced up, and I can't think of who the Bills player that picked it up and then it runs in for a touchdown. You're like, touchdown. Oh no, I thought that was a typical sort of this year Miami way to lose a game.
I think it was kick return. And I think I'm pretty sure, but
one of the Dolphins players after the game has been I think it's just been reprimanded by the team for having an altercation with a 13-year-old child in the crowd and also spitting at somebody else in the crowd. So obviously not a happy time afterwards. After that game, and then just sort of, I don't know, just for me, just quickly on the Seahawks getting beat by Baltimore. I thought that was something worthy of talking about. That's two losses now for the Seahawks in Seattle, which, you know, which is generally a you know, a bit of a fortress for them. I thought I thought they sort of come out and I was just sort of watching those games on the on the ESPN website, just sort of, and it was funny the two games that were going on at the same time, the Chargers and the Titans, and pretty much at the same exact time, the DK Metcalf fumble after the catch, which he dropped and then was returned, which was returned for a touchdown. There was like 3:30 left in the fourth quarter in that game, and that Seattle were only down 10 at that point in time, and that essentially killed the game for them. So that was a little disappointing. But as I saw sort of flicking through the games, and as I flicked over to the Chargers and the Titans, Melvin Gordon in attempting to go for a touchdown, it was near simultaneously, like time wise. And Melvin Gordon, as he reached out to try and get a touchdown, fumbles the ball. The Titans pick it up, and it's game over.
Yeah. Well, talking about that Seahawks game, I think like you said, they've lost their last two games at home, and I think Russell Wilson, the whole hype of Russell Wilson MVP, has sort of come back to back to reality.
He threw his first interception of the season, but I don't think you can just totally discredit him as an MVP candidate after that game.
Lamar Jackson as well. That was probably the other thing.
He rushed for 150 odd yards as well in that game. They couldn't stop him running. You're just like, oh my god.
It was crazy. I just don't get, and that's all teams.
You know he's gonna do it. Like it's I mean, you know that he's a threat to do it. It's just you've got to be able to come in with a plan to try and nullify that.
Yeah. Yeah, correct. He just—it's amazing. Like he's gonna be—I think there was a records. I think he, the only quarterback to rush 100 yards and then pass 100 yards for so many consistent games. Like there was some sort of record that no one's ever gonna catch, apparently. So he's absolutely. I mean, he's quick, so that's probably really the thing that helps. But I mean, his O-line must be just good enough that he can sort of scoot away.
Right, and that obviously be drawn. You know, when you've got the luxury of a quarterback like that, and he does have a decent run game, then you can you can game plan for that as your offensive coordinator as well. You know, a lot of quarterbacks don't like to do that and take those kind of hits and stuff like that. But there's guys that you can do that, and obviously that's a big part of his game. So, you know, it's kind of smart on the coaching staff there at the Ravens to sort of, you know, incorporate that into their offensive scheming.
Yeah, definitely. Did you have any studs and duds of the week, or did you want to talk about the news?
No, we'll go through the news just a little bit, and then we'll sort of get to the studs and duds at the end. You know, there's a little bit of a supernatural theme for my dud.
Okay.
just a little bit of the news. You know, obviously Matt Ryan being hurt, he hurt his ankle in that game against the Rams. So, you know, another backup had to come in, and just sort of, you know, listening to a lot of sort of ESPN radio over the last week, and that's what they've been going on a little bit of, just, you know, the year of the backup quarterback. It's you know, some big name starting quarterbacks have gone down, you know. So Drew Brees has gone down. So Teddy Bridgewater's backing him up, which has been nice. You know, Cam Newton's gone down. So Kyle Allen's is the backup there in Carolina. Mitch Trubisky, who came back this week against the Saints, you know, Chase Daniels has been his backup. I do hear there was some Chase Daniels chants during that game in Chicago against the Saints as well. But that's we'll roll with that. Nick Foles, you know, he got hurt in week one, like couldn't even get through the first half of football, and that sort of, you know, created Minshew mania. Obviously, the the untimely retirement of Andrew Luck. So, yeah, Jacoby Brissett was the backup there at the Colts. Sam Darnold went down with his little episode of mono. They had Trevor Siemian back up him, and then he got hurt. And then they had the young fella Luke Falk at the Jets.
Ben Roethlisberger went down. Mahomes
has gone down now. Matt Moore is the backup there in Kansas City. Big Ben Roethlisberger, another big name quarterback, has gone down, you know, and then Mason Rudolph comes in, he gets hurt, and then you got Duck Hodges. So it's just, and that's just the injuries, you know, that's not including the ones who have been benched. You know, it's been an ongoing back and forth with Fitzmagic and Josh Rosen.
Case Keenum and Dwayne Haskins.
Dwayne Haskins.
Yeah, Case Keenum went down.
And Colt McCoy. You know, Eli Manning and Daniel Jones, Marcus Mariota being benched for Ryan Tannehill. The value of a decent sort of backup that you can go to as a contingency plan if being forced in it through injury, or you can just go, well, our starting QB is playing like crap, let's put somebody else in.
You're right. I didn't realize until you started saying every single name.
It's a third of teams. It's 12 quarterbacks.
Yeah. Which is unheard of. 12
backups, which is crazy.
It is unheard of. I didn't realize until you sort of said it how many actual second string quarterbacks were.
When I started to go through them, I couldn't believe how many names I was writing down.
Yeah. But like you said, maybe the value, or not, like, and stand out for Saints, having Teddy Bridgewater is definitely a blessing in disguise, because he's played very, very well.
Well, at least he's admirable enough to get those Ws. He's the highest paid backup in the league.
Yeah.
He's there for a reason. He's a pretty high priced insurance policy, and the Saints have cashed in on the insurance policy. So, rumors swirling around that Drew Brees wants to play this week against the Cardinals, which I think would just be stupid because they've got the bye the week after. I'd be very hesitant. I think the teams that they've beaten with Teddy Bridgewater, I would be extremely confident in that they could get the job done in New Orleans against the Cardinals. There's no need to risk Drew Brees at all.
Will Alvin Kamara play?
I'm hearing that he's practicing.
Yeah, that's what I'm hearing.
But I think it still might be a questionable. It'd be a game time decision. I think his was just a bit of an ankle sprain or an ankle injury. So what he was dealing with. So that's not too bad. And once again, you know, the big game from Latavius Murray last week, has proven that you probably could even rest Kamara as well. So
yeah, true.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what they do this week anyway. So, if I was the Saints coaching staff, I'd be fairly confident that they should be able to get the job done against Arizona at home. So, there's no need to risk your top game players for a game that's probably not going to, you know. If you lose to Arizona, God forbid they lose to Arizona, but you wouldn't think that it's going to cost them the division or anything.
Correct. It won't be a bad loss. Yeah.
But the way that they've been playing, you can't see that they're going to lose to Arizona.
No. But even if they do, like, you know, that one taking on a chin isn't as bad if you've got your two best players down in your running back and your quarterback. So it's like you said, they can still win the division even losing that game. So I'm not sure how recent this news was, but the Patriots trading Michael Bennett to the Cowboys.
That came across the news this morning. I thought that was a very interesting trade, why New England would why New England would do that. That seems like a funny one, that one.
So the reason being, he was suspended by the New England Patriots for conduct detrimental to the team. He was then traded to the Cowboys for a conditional seventh round pick.
But yeah, which looks could like, turn into a sixth round or something like that. Yeah, I sort of read that.
It looks like it's because he's had an altercation with a staff member, is what pieces have come out and said. So.
Wow, geez, they don't muck around there in New England, eh? If you don't,
altercation with position coach. So no, yeah, they're really, which is great. Like, yeah, if you stuff up,
they'll just be like, all right, see ya.
Yeah, they suspended him, and then they just went, no, we don't need you anymore. So, which, on the flip side for Dallas, having him.
Super pickup.
And the defensive end, because we've had a couple of injuries, is a great pickup. I mean, $5 million you sort of got left. I mean, he is 33, but it's definitely
it's not as if he's not playing badly. He's been great there in New England. So, yeah. The Patriots have been active in the last little bit too. Trading for Mohamed Sanu, from Atlanta. Trading away a second round pick, which I think is probably a bit of a high price.
I think
and just sort of listening to an ESPN radio show today about just about that trade, and they were talking about they're all praising the move, that it's, that's a super move by New England and everything. And, what happens if this was Jacksonville that made this move? Would it be crushed? Would they just be going, oh, what are they doing that for? What a horrible move. You know what I mean? Like, because it's New England, it's just the greatest move in the history of trades. So, yeah, it's just a bit funny how it works like that. And the other thing I thought with New England was, hey.
I think it's funny because... Like when Antonio Brown went there, he was deemed by everybody like the worst person in the league, but no one said anything when New England picked him up. Greatest move ever. And then he left, and they go, oh, well, that was good of New England. So yeah, they're very protected by the fans and everybody. It's amazing, actually. And the league, yeah, that's probably a whole different story. But yeah, true.
Well, all that too. And the other thing I thought was a little bit sort of funny that come out, I think it was yesterday, that that the Patriots have put Josh Gordon on the IR. So if what they do, I think you're on the IR for 8 weeks. If that's the case, then he's a free agent at the end of this season. Then that could be the last time you'll see him in a Patriots uniform.
Yeah, I would dare say so. I mean, I don't know much about his injury. At all. I know he did get placed on the IR, but what I've read, he looks like he'll be healthy and coming back soon. But
I don't think he expected that being placed on the IR as well. Like when he had like an Instagram post or a tweet or something like that, which was it was interesting, and the little emoji with the monocle or something like that. So it's just
wondering if it's because of that Sanu trade, he's just going, well, what the hell's going on?
Yeah, it's a bit odd, that they've taken the punt on, two sort of problematic receivers. Obviously one with Antonio Brown, and that didn't work out so well. But the Josh Gordon experiment hasn't really worked either.
No, correct. The reason I guess sort of talking about trades, because it's the trade deadline's coming up soon, I believe.
I think it's the end of this week. I think it's just before Halloween.
So probably the end of this. You're right.
It'll be mid next week, I'd say.
The only two that I could see, I guess to talk about it would be interesting sort of trade news, would does Melvin Gordon, is he a trade, not a trade asset, but would people trade for him? Or should the Chargers trade him?
He's not. Yeah, he's been... He's been fairly underwhelming since he's come back into a Chargers uniform. So the problem's going to be is what they're going to get for him. That's a bit of the problem. Somebody will, and might just take the fresh new outlook on things and being somewhere else. But I'm sure that there will be teams out there that will be looking at Melvin Gordon, and it'll just be what sort of price they want to pay for him.
Well, and he still hasn't signed a deal with the Chargers, so.
No, and that'll be part of a trade problem because they'll take him on. They would have to promise him a contract afterwards.
Yeah, so there could be a few sort of sneaky, the only one that sort of came to mind when I sort of thought about it, I mean, they'd have to have assets, would be Buffalo Bills. Only because, you know, they're 5-1, they're still growing great, but Frank Gore's also 36 years old, so... I don't know if it's going to happen. The other one was the
and Detroit Devin Lions. Singletary as well. He sort of had a bit of an underwhelming return from injury. So I think they sort of got all their eggs in one basket in that regard with the young kid there, Singletary. So you don't know, like, you know, who's desperate for that sort of, you know,
Detroit possibly, Lions. You know,
Detroit.
Kerryon Johnson out.
Kerryon Johnson got hurt this week too, didn't he? Did he?
Yeah,
so he's gone. I guess you could sort of, make a case for those as well. You know, David Johnson's been hurt recently in Arizona, but they've got Chase Edmonds there, and he had a pretty big game this week. I'm sure there's, you know, if you sort of make me think about it, but I'm sure there's landing spots.
It's a huge team. Yeah, because the other one that I wanted to talk about just before we move on to your studs and duds was would the Panthers trade Cam Newton? Because
his contract, as far as I know, I can't remember if his contract's up this year.
He signed through to the 2020 season,
which so it is next year.
He'll make $18.6 million next year, but
it's a bargain.
Which is a bargain, correct? I mean, and. He's still, you know, there's a few teams out there, and the first team that popped in my head was Chicago Bears that could use a very, you know, or a decent quarterback. But I don't know. I don't see him getting back on the field again. The way Kyle Allen's playing, I just don't see him getting back on the field
until Kyle Allen, you know, sort of. Yeah, doesn't look like that. Or if he has a regression, then I would just keep riding the hot hand.
I would too. So then, you know, you've got $18.6 million sitting on the bench. Then that's what I mean. Do you, you know, do they look for trade?
I'm sure there'll be teams out there that'd look for him. You know, maybe Jacksonville.
Yeah.
Yeah, obviously Nick Foles is their number one, but you know, what's he going to be like when he comes back?
I think
the Denver Broncos looks like they've made a monumental screw up in getting Joe Flacco over there. He's just not getting any better at all.
I just think, you know, look, Mitchell Trubisky at the Bears.
I'm thinking maybe a team like the Chargers, you know, Phillip Rivers isn't getting any younger. So, you know, could they invest? Because Cam Newton's only, what's he, is he 29 or 30?
30. He's 30 coming next year. So he's still.
You know, he's not exactly old. But
in quarterback years, he's pretty young. But so.
Nah, the beating that he's taken over his career, correct, you know, with the rushing player that he is. You know, his body's got his body can take it because he's got the body size to be able to take it. He's a big dude.
Yeah, he is a big dude.
So yeah, I don't know. It's interesting. You'd sort of have to sift through some of the teams. You know, Pittsburgh. You know, how much longer is Big Ben going to keep playing? You know, he's got that's a pretty nasty injury. You know, your throwing arm elbow, like that's trouble.
I mean, And I don't see, like you said, well, probably said at the start of the podcast, this seems to be the year of the backup quarterbacks. But I mean, I can't see him trading for, unless, you know, Josh, he keeps having a hot hand. I can't see they going to trade away Cam Newton. But on the flip side,
their third string is.
Well, that's right. On the flip side, I mean, you know, a contending team, or that, you know, where someone does go down like a Ben, well, they're not going to be contending, but there's a few teams that would, I could see, use him. And 18.6 million is pretty movable. So.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, that's, I mean, all Carolina's got to do is just bide their time and they'll get, they'll get some offers.
Yeah. So we'll move on to your studs and duds of the week.
So, start of the week, and we didn't really talk about him much at all. But my start of the week, you know, could have gone with it with you know, a ton of players, really. You know, Josh Jacobs, and, you know, sort of I had a lot of running backs sort of in, you know, in the mix this week. Mm-hmm. But for mine, like, you know, probably the best performance by a running back this week was Latavius Murray.
Yeah.
Yeah, two rushing TDs. 27 rushes, 119 yards, 5 receptions, 31 yards, you know, in the absence of Alvin Kamara. So, yeah. You know, they sort of put their trust in him and gave him the touches and the carries. And he's proved a very good, replacement for Mark Ingram. You know, I loved me some Mark Ingram last year. He was great. But Latavius Murray has looked like he's doing just as well, you know, this year and took on a pretty heavy workload this week, with no Kamara there. So, I thought he was terrific. It just, I don't know how many, you know, just watching the highlights and stuff like that. It was the Latavius Murray show. So I thought he was probably the best, or, you know, the best, or one of the best guys this week.
Yeah, and he played. Yeah, I mean, obviously he played well in the absence of Alvin Kamara. The only one that sort of stood out to me as the start of the week was Jacoby Brissett. Not only obviously getting his team over the Texans, but throwing a career high 4 pass touchdowns. So which,
He was very good as well.
Going into the start of the year, obviously no one was talking about him because everyone thought Andrew Luck was going to stay around for the year. So
no, that's wrong.
He's just getting better and better. Like week to week, you know, he is going to be, well, he is their franchise quarterback, and the team's getting behind him, which is great. You know, for them to be 4-2 with not the quarterback that they thought they were going to have is his expectations from, well, I guess from myself, were just, he's beating all expectations. So,
no, that's, yeah, exactly. That's right. Yeah. He's exceeding them. Yeah. With interest.
With interest.
Just like the two that I sort of thought were secondaries, you know, to Latavius Murray, who is, you know, he's a running back two, you know, at the Saints, but, you know, Fournette, you know, he had 29 rushes for 131 yards, but he's a number one.
Finally.
Delvin Cook had 25 rushes for 142 yards, but he's a number one. So that's why I just thought that, you know, that Murray's, you know, effort was a little better than those two, you know, than those two performances, purely the fact that he's not the number one running back there in New Orleans.
I can't wait to hear this dud of the week because the whole supernatural thing's been playing in my
head. Well, you know, it's pretty easy to figure out the man who was seeing ghosts this week. The four interceptions that he threw were horrendous. I think three of the four, there wasn't even a Jets receiver within Kui of anybody. It was straight to a Patriots defender. It was insane. Yeah. Like, I don't know what the hell he thought he was seeing. maybe he was colorblind for a game or something. Like, I don't know if colorblindness is a side effect of mono. I just thought that was very bizarre that he comes out with the I'm seeing ghosts sort of thing. But the interceptions that he threw were just horrible. They were absolutely horrible. And, you know, yeah. 11 for 32 and 82 yards. That's just, that's unacceptable. That's just unacceptable. I know it's against the Patriots and I know they've got a top D. It's just unacceptable.
My only sort of dud, I mean, there's a lot of duds, a lot of team duds, but I know we all keep harping on about the Dolphins, but I don't know. My dud this week was the Cincinnati Bengals as a team as a whole.
They're bad.
And wow, obviously AJ Green going down hasn't helped, but because I thought he was going to be get back at what week three, I believe, but
could be out.
There is nothing on that team that except Tyler Boyd, which I don't know. I like him, especially as a fantasy player. I like him, but they're bad. Like I know everyone keeps harping on the Dolphins and all that, but you don't hear anyone having. I mean, they should. To me, having a go at the Bengals because they have Andy Dalton, who's a great quarterback compared to the Miami Dolphins quarterback. They have Joe Mixon, who's done nothing this year.
10 rushes, 2 yards.
So
like, how is that even possible? Like, I know it's possible, but 10 rushes for 2 yards.
Well, when Andy Dalton beats him with four rushes for 33 yards. So,
Joe Mixon is no slouch at running back.
He was top five or top 10 last year. So they just, I don't know. I just think the Bengals, like, I'm only putting them as a dud of the week because everyone, you know, loves to bash the Dolphins and
and the Redskins.
Correct. But no one's, you know, and the Dolphins, like I've said, basically, well, they haven't said, but, you know, in more or less words, they've got a lot of number one picks to sort of start building. The Bengals have done nothing.
They're in the tank for Tua,
which is fine. But the Bengals have done like nothing, literally nothing, and I don't see them winning. So that yeah, they. I mean, it was only Jacksonville. I mean, and that was a close game, but no, they consistently are a dud for me, unfortunately.
Yeah, so. You can make a Yeah, you could make a claim that they'll be dud every week, but
there'll be plenty more.
Fairly particularly ordinary week for them.
Yeah, I mean, there's plenty out there. Like, I do love having Sam Darnold seeing guys as a dud. That's pretty funny, to be honest. So, I'd have to listen to it now. Now that I've heard it, I'd have to listen to. You know,
it's just, I don't know, sort of weird. And just like I said, it was just in the moment of what, you know, what he's sort of saying to his teammates and stuff. So I don't think you can sort of, you know, look too much into it, but I just thought it was a strange sort of comment to make.
I mean, wasn't there another dud possibly with someone that's trying to fight Aaron Donald?
Well, you know, that's not really a dud. That's just, you know, that man needs to be visited by the men in white coats. Like, that's just pure insanity. Like, you just, yeah, no, I think he needs to be rushed away to the nearest mental health hospital and he needs a CAT scan immediately.
Yeah. It's another thing that's pretty hilarious that I'll have to look up again. So.
Oh yeah. 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 Have a look at that. It just doesn't make it, why? Like, I get it, you're frustrated, you get him blown out, but that's not the man to take on.
Well, that'll do it, I guess, for us for week 7 of the NFL pod. Don't forget to follow us on Facebook, which we're getting very, very close to 100 likes. We have three more, I should say. So whoever gets the 100th like, we'll shout out. Obviously, you're not listening now because otherwise you wouldn't like the podcast, but we'll still shout you out. Also Twitter at the Final Play Pod, and obviously you can find all our pods on SoundCloud.
And yeah, with a bit of luck too on the Gimco podcasting network as well on Spotify. So look, if you want to try and look for us on Spotify then just type in the search bar Gimco and yeah, that say GIMKO. And we will, we should be showing up on the Gimco podcasting network. So, Yeah, with a bit of luck, that's all sorted its little kinks out, and we're good to go.
Well, have a good week, everyone. My name's Jason. We'll try to do this earlier in the week. But
yeah, unforeseen circumstances.
Unforeseen circumstances. People have to work.
Well, work.
We have to get
like
fed.
Yeah, gotta get paid for real.
Yeah, we do have to get paid for real. Like, this isn't paying the bills, but we love doing it. That's the whole reason we're doing it. So have a good week, everyone.
Have a good week, everybody. Enjoy your NFL this weekend.
Peace.
See ya.